After looking at the computer-aided dispatch system, it seems as if a call came from a second grader. It actually read, the call came from a second grade teacher. That was a mistake. That's my responsibility, and I apologize, and I clarify that today. It did not come from a second grader. It read second grade teacher.
Before we dive into this conversation, let me just start by saying mistakes happen. Mistakes happen all the time. Because at the core of every human being, we are all flawed. We are all imperfect. So this is not a discussion about a police officer making a mistake. Okay, because that would just be wrong. I make mistakes as a broadcaster constantly. And I have to own up. I've got to make corrections on air. So I want to make sure listeners don't think I'm sitting here just bashing the police chief in Madison, Wisconsin, after the most recent deadly school shooting happened in America this week. That's not what this conversation is about. This conversation is about police handling the media, and I'm wondering if we're seeing a shift in America. This was a major mistake that was made. If you listened to my show yesterday morning, we played more times than I can count the same police chief who, after the shooting, one of the key pieces of information he shared with the public was the fact that it was a second grade student who made that 911 call. And he repeated it. Let that sink in, that it was a second grader who made the call. But that wasn't the case. And in fact, more than 24 hours later, there was then a correction. But that's 24 hours of allowing America to be up in arms about cell phone policies in schools, looking at school tragedies in a different way, because not only is this a problem that's ongoing, but now you've got second graders making the 911 call. I mean, this was a major mistake. And it just begs the question, are police handling the media the right way? So for that perspective, who am I? I'm not a cop. I've never worked in law enforcement. I do work in the media, though, and I feel there's a change in the amount of information being shared. But from a law enforcement perspective, we go to one of our law enforcement experts, Gary McNamara. And Gary, you were the first person I thought of at 2:10 yesterday afternoon when I heard this correction on air right here on WICC. What were your thoughts when you first heard the correction?
Well, first of all, a great discussion to have, because oftentimes, you know, we cover a lot of the challenges in law enforcement, and in instances like this, we focus on the press conference because we're looking for information, but we never really dive into that and all the work that goes into that. It's a mistake. I would also direct you, and I know you have, and clarified in the beginning, all the good quality information that came out, the instructional information, because information in a crisis is different, even though it could be the same. Some of it's instructional, and some of it's just what we know. So some of it will say, listen, we need you to stay away. We need you to do this. And then there's this other information, which is, it's more the color or the flavor, but it's on an emotional level. And I think that this really touched the chief, the information he had, and in dealing with a lot of the crisis at the time, when he gets this information, he gets it from other sources within the police department. It hurts him, it shocks him, and he's almost talking to himself at the same time while he's talking to us. Is that, let that sink in, because it's sinking into him that he's dealing with this crisis and it's really affecting him in the conversation he's having with us.
So you felt, Gary McNamara, again, and Gary was the chief of police in Fairfield, and he had to have these difficult conversations right here in Connecticut. He was the chief during Sandy Hook, and while that was in Newtown, Fairfield was one of the responding police departments that was on scene while this was all unfolding. So you've had these difficult conversations, let alone, you know, other tragedies that have happened during the time that you were chief in Fairfield. You felt, when he made that comment initially, it was almost like, hey, I'm human too, and this hits me to the core, the fact that a second grader made the call. You felt his emotions were taking over, but that it wasn't so much to appease the media and say, here's what I like to call a sexy headline. Here's something the media can focus on while we actually deal with the bulk of this investigation. You felt it was more emotion versus appeasing the media.
Oh, I absolutely do. Okay. I think that it really affected him. You know, the And he brought us there. You know, he brought us there, as you highlighted. You know, he said, "I let that sink in." You know, because it's really, you know, law enforcement has a tough job. We're not only trying to prevent crime from happening, we deal with it. You know, these officers there are dealing with that. And he's getting a lot of information pulled in a lot of different directions. And, you know, factual stuff is factual stuff. It's hard. It's challenging. We got a job to do. But you saw a side of law enforcement in this chief that really brought it personal. It's like, I cannot believe, almost if he wasn't doing a press conference and just having a conversation with us. Do you believe this? Now a second grader is put in a position where they have to make a 911 call. Take, you know, deeper dive into his emotions of it. I'm not minimizing the fact that it's a mistake because the information is not accurate. I think it's drawing the emotions. I don't think he's throwing a cookie to the media to say, let's let everybody take that where it has to go. I think it really just affected him in that, you know, way that brings out his personal emotions.
And I'm not trying to be a cynic, Gary McNamara, but I just know from a news standpoint yesterday, look, you were on the show yesterday, and this was part of our conversation, and it was the talk of the town in Connecticut, certainly, at least on this show. We were inundated with calls and messages and emails. Should the governor reverse his view on cell phone policies in schools? I mean, I'm getting, you know, emails and messages about, hey, here's what you should start equipping your first grader with, because clearly if a second grader saved the day, who's to say that our children couldn't do that? I mean, it caused a frenzy, and I'm watching it on Good Morning America. I'm watching it on the Today Show. Second grader hailed a hero. I mean, this caused a media frenzy nationally. The fact that it was reported, a second grader making that 911 call. Do you feel like they waited too long on that? Like, to make that sort of a, again, I agree with what you're saying. It was, I think, an emotional decision to say it that way and to share that information with the media. But as soon as it became, whoa, this is the focus in America. This is a huge focus for people. Shouldn't they have given that update sooner? I mean, shouldn't that have come sooner? Because my understanding in that press conference was there was obviously a huge focus on, hey, we've been investigating the shooter. We're going through the social media. We can reveal to you a motive like that. That was really the point of waiting till the afternoon. Why not correct that mistake, at least to shut the frenzy down in America? Why wait to share that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that really when you start talking about these instances, it's crisis management. And over time, what we're seeing in some of the conversations and training we're starting to have is information management as well. Information management in law enforcement, in public service, and public safety is just as important as crisis management and crisis training. Because information management may be a secondary crisis if you're not understanding that you're getting so much information in and how do you manage it. I agree. I think that, you know, in these instances, you have teams of public information people who are watching the media and they're trying to gather through messages that they're getting and receiving. So I think that in hindsight, if they had thought through it and said, look, the media has grabbed onto that, they don't really know that. You know, the chief is not sitting there going, looking at himself and saying, oh, my gosh, that's the statement that has gone off and taken legs. You know, a lot of times when these things happen, the first thing they ask the chief is about gun control. You know, and at that moment in time, you know, we got to do something about weapons. We got to do something about this, you know, but they're not. Those are kind of offshoot conversations. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think once they get the information, whenever it came in, somebody has to go to the chief and somebody has to go to that team and say, hey, listen, I gave you the wrong information or this information was misinterpreted. You know, going under the assumption that this is all genuine, and I believe it to be genuine.
I do, too. I got that sense that it was. And even the fact that he moved right along. Gary McNamara is here, one of our law enforcement experts on Melissa in the Morning, and we're talking about the correction that made many people's jaws drop yesterday afternoon when the police chief in Madison, Wisconsin, shared at the top of his 2 o'clock press conference that it was not a second grader who made that initial 911 call during the deadly shooting that happened earlier this week. It was, in fact, a second grade teacher. Now, this is not a conversation about somebody who made a mistake, because let's be honest, you and me, we all make mistakes all the time. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about police in the way that they handle investigations, handle the media, handle their own emotions, how this was handled. And you know, and I think also, Gary, what you were just talking about before, I agree with you. I think that the chief is sincere. I think that was an honest mistake. I think this is somebody who is handling a horrific tragedy. And the latest school shooting in America that claimed the life of a student, claimed the life of a teacher. It's being called a violent act that was done in the hands of a 15-year-old female student at the school. I mean, there's so much to take on emotionally for first responders, for the police, everybody. I don't think that mistake was made, obviously, on purpose. I don't think he was trying to say it very lightly. I think there are bigger parts of the investigation that the media was really focused on. Do you feel, though, that this is a shining example of why, when police especially give very little information, the public needs to respect that? Or when they do give information and they feel like things are not happening quick enough, for our own fascination or for our own need to know basis, this is why police want to be thorough? Because mistakes like that certainly caused a real frenzy in Connecticut and across the country.
Yeah, I do. You know, I teach here at Sacred Heart in crisis communication at the MPA. In the MPA program, one of the things I start with crisis communications is you can't chase the message, because that's what information management is about. You have to understand that you're never going to get ahead of the message in social media. You know, there's going to be a lot of information that's not accurate so you have to have the concept that you can't chase the message, but you have to respect. That's why this conversation is so important, because we don't talk about it, but you have to put trust and confidence in the leadership in public safety and law enforcement, especially in these instances where they get out and say, listen, this is what we have. This is the information we have. We'll get you more information as we can. And people have to understand that information's coming in at record speed, lightning speed, while people are still dealing with reunification of parents and a lot of other activity, more important information, activity that's going on. But you have to understand that confidence in the leadership is so important. When we locked down all the schools in Fairfield, you know, we got out as quickly as we can, and the first thing I remember saying was, all the kids in Fairfield are safe. But I wouldn't say that unless I was confident that it was true.
You're talking about during Sandy Hook?
No.
Oh,
during
when?
The swatting incident way back when we had to lock down all the schools in Fairfield as a result of a swatting incident.
Oh, I see.
Several years ago.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
It wasn't clear on that.
No, you're fine.
But I do think we have to respect that. We have to have confidence in the leadership. And he did. He did a lot of things that have confidence in it. And that's why they bring a lot of different people out. I'm here. This is the information we have. I know you want more information, but we'll get that information as soon as we can.
And I also loved, Gary, and I don't know if this is something that you did when you were chief, or I don't know if police departments do this. They may. I thought it was really interesting that Madison police asked inquiries of they said, you know, reporters, ask us what your questions are ahead of time. I thought he said this so clearly, and I thought it was brilliant. He said, we got all your inquiries. We're not going to take questions at the end because you should have submitted them to us ahead of time. And we're going to address as many of those questions as we can. If we don't answer your questions, it's because we're not either ready or we don't have the answers yet. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was a brilliant way of making sure they addressed the public properly. They got to the media, and it was very clean. I thought that press conference was very clean the way that they did that. But I've not heard of police departments doing things like that. Like, hey, media, send in your inquiries. Let us know what you're looking for. We're going to see how many of those we can answer. And if we don't answer them, here's why. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, and it comes with relationships, too, with the media, mm-hmm. you know, local level and on the national level. You know, those relationships that public safety has with the media are so important. And, you know, that's why it's important that, you know, leaders in law enforcement, I believe, have contact with the media and do media releases and engage with the media on stuff that doesn't matter. Like a simple mailbox being damaged and going out as a chief to talk about it, or cars being broken into, is important. Because if the only time you're asked to go out there and talk with the media and interact with the media in public information is during a crisis, then you're not really prepared for it. So I think it's important to have practice. I think it's important to work with the media, local media, because sometimes in these press conferences, we overlook the local media to deal with the national media and the relationships and the discussions that the daily discussions that media has with local law enforcement is much more important than at the national level. So we got to remember those relationships are so important and to have that comfort level.
I agree. I totally agree. Gary McNamara, I thank you so much for your ongoing partnership right here on Melissa in the Morning, and another great conversation with you. Thank you.
All right. Be well, Melissa, and thanks for including me.
Of course. Absolutely. We'll see if we have one more conversation before the new year. Probably. I don't know. At this rate, we've 3 days in a row, Gary McNamara, poor thing, has been bothered by me, but he keeps coming back, and I really appreciate it.